me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along.
Radio Havana, Cuba. Havana, Cuba. Well, yes.
Buenos días. Tengan todos ustedes, mis queridos radioyentes.
Hola, amigos.
Presentamos este programa.
Pero con sentimiento de la calle.
In authentic Latin beat.
For all of my people, Negroes and Latinos. And even the gringos.
Pero si quieren saber un poco más de qué se trata,
quédense unos minutos con nosotros.
The bigger dicker, the pancake flipper, the boom stiggity boom stiggity sticker, the boogie flipper, the windshield wiper for your ear master, the Cap'n Crunch that will steal you from disaster. Yo, you got too many cracks on your wall, you need plaster. Get with the program, yo. You're drinking 30-year-old root beer Shasta. You think I'm lying? Stop trying. Pay attention and you could go far. When you tuned in to the N, the P, and the motherfucking R.
And then you're doing it.
Doing
you
it.
You keep doing it. NPR, PR,
yeah, yeah,
PR,
yeah.
PR.
Hey, yo, man, bust it. It's Thursday night. You haven't washed your underwear in a week. You ain't got shit in your refrigerator, but you got internet access. That's why you're here. You know what I'm saying? I'm your host, Nestor Rodriguez, a.k.a. the
And the N-E-S, the G-O-R, the I-O-U-S, the double G.
And that's my nigga right there, Simon Kaufman.
That's right, people.
The Judah Monk.
Hey, you know,
yes.
That's what we do.
Yes, that's
Simon
what we do.
Simon Kaufman, super genius.
Super genius. And then to my left tonight, welcome back, my man, the redheaded, el hombre colorado, Richard Corbin. ¿Cómo está?
Simones, órale pues.
Órale pues.
Órale.
Órale pues.
You sound way more Mexican than me, I'll tell you.
Hey, yo, we got a special treat. This is my boy. I've been trying to get you on my show for like...
I'm here, motherfuckers.
My man, Walter Reyes. Walter H. Reyes. What does the H stand for, Walter?
White people say Humberto,
It's Umberto.
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 Exactly.
Umberto. But the H was free.
Ache.
That's why they just put
free.
It in.
No.
Yeah.
You know.
It's Umberto.
It's like Django got the D for free.
You know. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
So, y'all, if you're listening live, you know, it's like 5 + 4, 9, you know what I'm saying, p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You know what I mean? On the East Coast, it's on the midnight tip. You know what I mean? We're rolling all the way to 1 a.m., so if you ain't got shit to do tomorrow, you're here. You know what I'm saying? You're live and direct, wrecked. The number's 1-800-893-9562. You know what to do, motherfuckers.
Yeah, call in. You know, you don't got anything else going in your life.
You know,
you haven't got laid in a while. You've been watching a lot of internet porn.
Yeah, don't jump. Don't jump yet.
I watch internet porn even if I do get it. Give a fuck.
Yo, we got 55 minutes of funk. You know what I'm saying? And it's time to, you know, get some hope on your life. You know what I mean? It's time to get some hope on your life. Hey, yo, check this out, Simon. It's for you. Ready?
Oh, it's for me? Okay, I see. That's how it's gonna be. I just dropped the flow because you know that's where I like to go. When you flip up on me, then the motherfuckers don't know. The NPR, the sticker on your car, the motherfucking superstars, that's who the fuck we are. We coming in the shit. I got my man Walt. You know he's about to open up the motherfucking vault. Whether it's a H or the U, Umberto, or Humberto, or Humvee, where we go. We doing cliff jumping, not giving a fuck what in. We doing when we flew in. You know we coming and we running. Doing a stand-up comedy with me, yo, Nesta. Dropped the mic at the Ice House last night for all you busted out motherfuckers that don't know with your white out.
God diggity damn, nigga, coming at you from the ham with the fan. With the mic in his hand. Damn. That shit right there was off the chisel,
I'm
my boy.
I'm impressed like a motherfucker.
Yo, that's my boy right there.
I can't even say my ABCs that smooth.
Yo. Beat the fuck up to all the Jewish motherfuckers in America that can put three syllables together. Beat the fuck up to all you Jewish motherfuckers in America that can double dribble with your lower lip and come back and flip. You know what I'm saying? Word. That's why I got my man Simon Kaufman. He ain't playing. This nigga right here ain't no joke.
I like it.
Simon grew up in Seattle, man, in the ghetto, in the inner city, right?
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Well, I mean, the Jewish neighborhood where I grew up, is right next to the hood. Yeah. So, you know, I grew up, I mean, the way I describe it, I grew up in the same neighborhood with Sir Mix-a-Lot, Doug Christie, Jamal Crawford, Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
Fuck it, you know, the South End.
Yo, hold on a second,
I lived in Seattle.
Nate Burleson.
Who knew? That's pretty interesting.
Corey Dillon.
I grew up in the hood and I try to stay away from all that shit. I try to detach myself a little bit.
Well, truth be told, man, it's been what they call gentrified, which is a nice way of saying we're trying to move the blacks out.
Right.
It's been gentrified for the last 10 years.
Raise the rent for the white people coming in.
Dude, growing up, we had no restaurants. We had no real grocery stores. And now they do. They got all sorts of stuff. All these people came in with their bakeries and their fucking...
It's like East Harlem.
You know, when they start getting the bakeries and the coffee shops,
that's when shit is going down.
Yeah.
Jefferson, that city.
It's a lot more what they call gentrified now.
Yeah. My city's still the poorest city in L.A. County.
Where you from? Cudahy.
Can't find that shit. Six blocks long, four gangs.
Cudahy.
He knows Cudahy.
Cudahy. Ready? Y'all.
Peace. This is Common. And right now, you're checking out Nestorius Public Radio. Y'all stay in tune. Love.
Word. Just for y'all niggas that don't know.
How much that cost you right there?
That shit was freebie, yo. That shit was free, yo. I interviewed Common, man. It was free. The shit was like, blip, 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 blah, blah, blah. She was free. Anyway.
wait, what was it like?
That was like, blip, 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 blah, 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 blah.
That sounds like me coming.
You know it.
You know it. But
the reason I was asking about your upbringing, you sent me a link earlier this week about your foster brother.
Yeah, so,
What's his name? Makairu?
Mikearu.
Mikearu.
Yeah.
Really unbelievably impressive short. So he didn't direct that. That was just a film about him.
Mm-hmm. But he was involved in the process. You know, growing up, I had a lot of foster brothers and sisters. We started with his mom, Iris, and his uncle, William. Before Mikearu was even born, they came and lived with us.
So his mom was a victim of trafficking, sexual trafficking?
Well, actually, right now, unfortunately, his mom is missing. We don't really know where she is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, damn.
But she, you know, a lot of messed up shit in her past. Heroin issue.
Crack.
And, you know, stuff like that. A lot of drugs. I remember being a kid. You want to hear the story? I remember I was just a kid. I was like 14, 15, right?
Yeah, we're here.
No, listen.
One of his stories.
No, so I was like 15, 14, right? And she gave me this free weed, like in a little baggie, right? And I was so
Iris?
New, yeah. And I was so new to doing drugs,
right,
that I was scared that it was going to be laced.
Right.
I remember sitting on the kitchen table with my boy Eric. And we're like, dude, it might have heroin in it. Like, that's how young we were, you know, not knowing anything about anything.
Yeah.
Right?
I should smoke it with my toes.
No, we threw it away. We threw it away just not to risk it because we thought that, like, in our stupid kid minds, we thought, well, if we smoke this, we could be heroin addicts.
Right.
That's how we start prostituting ourselves.
No, but you know what? That's safe thinking. You were on the right track.
Yeah, pretty smart. I bet you still smoked it, though.
No, we threw it away.
No, we threw it away
because we didn't know. We were like, oh, it might... I
would have been too afraid of what people would have thought of me throwing it away, so I would have smoked it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Why are you throwing that away?
And I would have been like, yo, fuck it. Please make the noises go away.
You know, we debated it back and forth, you know, and then we were like, nah, let's just toss it. We still had high school ahead of us.
You debated it right, man, yo.
we still had a whole future ahead of me.
Yeah, we didn't want to throw away high school. No, but in all seriousness,
the only thing I had to look forward to was welfare juices, the 25 cents fucking
hula. Yeah, baller, dog. You didn't have welfare.
Yeah, so what happened was, so she came to live with us, then she left, and then years later, she came back with Mikearu when he was alive, and, he came and lived with us and, you know, he stayed with us for a while and he was in and out of foster care. But, you know, the beautiful thing about the kid, why I like him so much, why I love him so much is, you know, his whole family was into drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. I mean, generationally, mm-hmm. you know, one yeah. into the next. And he was like, and just put the stops on it, put the brakes on it.
Right.
And he was like, you know, because it really, if you think about it, it really only takes one person in your family, in your generation, to say, I'm going to stop the cycle of abuse and drug addiction.
Yeah.
It stops with me.
Yeah.
What's a gift? I can relate to that. I mean, I didn't experience personally how he did it, you know, hands off. He had to actually, I saw the short, and he had to actually get in and hustle himself as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, for me growing up, I grew up in a very shady-ass neighborhood where all the kids, I mean, people were getting courted into gangs at 13, 14. Yeah. I had to avoid all that shit.
Right.
I would go into apartment complexes or apartments where their parents were, you know, cutting up weed inside a bedroom, and we were chilling in there. And nobody was none the wiser. Like, we were watching TV, and they're fucking cutting up weed.
Yeah.
And I remember approaching, like, the head of the gang and asking him, like, yo, I don't want to do this. I want to go to school. I want to go to college. You know, like, what do I got to do? And luckily, like, he wanted to fuck my sister.
They were like, ha, 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 sure you do.
I was like, my sister had a nice ass, and he wanted to fuck it. And he's like, no, I got you. You're so-and-so's sister. I'm like, yep, that's Norma. I'm Norma's brother.
You
like,
have potential. We're going to move you into the other room.
We're going to make you an executive.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting what you say is because, like, I remember I was the only white kid on my football team growing up. Just me and one white guy, one Samoan, and the rest brothers.
And the other guy was a water boy, the white guy.
Yeah. So, and I remember the kids. I mean, we must have been in the seventh grade, like eighth grade. You know, we're just kids, right? And I remember the kids that, like, they wanted to be kids because they were just kids, but they couldn't. They kind of had to be tough because their older brothers and all their older uncles and dads, like, they were, like, groomed for the gangs, you know? I remember feeling bad for them. Even as a kid,
that's the way,
like,
it was. I mean, you had to be tough. I mean, that's why I ballsed it up.
Yeah.
Like, what kid at, seriously, probably 10 years old, goes and knocks on the head of the gang's door to ask to be left alone?
Yeah.
You know, like, to me, it wasn't balls. It was to me, like, every fucking friend I got keeps getting courted in.
Yeah.
I don't want that at all.
You figure, let me just go to the head of the
What's the worst?
Yeah,
what's the worst?
Exactly.
And I knew he wanted my sister.
Exactly.
I knew that part. I just knew that part.
Listen, I don't know if you can get my sister, but I can get you her panties.
Yeah. He's wheeling and dealing.
Yo, I don't know if maybe she's...
Yo. You just leave me alone. I'll tell my mom you're good peeps.
Orale, orale, guate. Listen, man. Listen, eh?
Thank you, Snake, by the way. That was his name, Snake.
Yeah, well, you know, but...
Your foster brother, which I can't pronounce his name. First of all,
it's Michael. Michael.
Can I tell you something? Beautiful. What a fucking gorgeous kid. I mean, beautiful features. Are those his eyes?
I think they're contacts.
Oh, okay. Because I was gonna say
he has those beautiful felon eyes.
The felon eyes du jour. But he was talking about, like, being sexual trafficking, and his mom
human trafficking, and
being forced to watch his mom having sex. They were homeless.
I can only imagine more than that. It was like not just sex. Like, I sound like she would get beat up and stuff. Like, because he right after he said that part, he's talking about how, look, we saw the consequences. Like, they wouldn't do it to us personally. I guess they sexually abused him, like, once, I think he said. And then
his brother sexually abused. Yeah.
That was pretty crazy.
And, you know, I mean, I wasn't really in his life during a lot of that time. So I don't really know. He kind of came in and out of my life at different points. He never really brought none of that up. So, I do remember going to their apartment one time as a kid. And it was, you know, was very barren. You know what I mean? You know, so he saw some shit, but...
Just big old bottle of Colt 45.
I think the crazy thing is just how common that is in this country. I mean, to think we're like a first nation.
Yeah.
Think about this. We're like one of the most wealthiest nations in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people sleeping in the corners of crack houses and shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, it just blows your mind.
It's fucked up. Without a doubt.
But I think it was beautiful, though, to see... His strength
and his aspiration.
Yeah, he never, and that's the beautiful part when he references back to his childhood dream of the chandelier.
The chandelier.
And I like this part too. He's like the his and her stairs or his and his.
Is that what he said? His and her
stairs and then his and his
stairs. So I take it he's gay now. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's gay now.
I thought that he seemed effeminate, but you know what? Part of watching that little short, I swear to God, I teared up a little bit because I was thinking the same thing you were thinking, and you, Simon, which is like, how the fuck do we live in America and that type of shit goes on, right? And then I thought, how beautiful is it that a young man, I'll say, right, has the aspiration of having a house on, I'm assuming, a really nice part of Seattle, right? He mentioned
well, it's that. It's not the city.
I mean, it's not the nicest area, but it's up doable. And coming. It's like I said. Remember I said the gentrified area?
As a kid, it might have been the area.
He's in a gentrified area.
Right.
Where when we were coming up, it was the projects, and you probably didn't want to drive to that area. Now it's not. They actually leveled the whole thing, and they built. So instead, they built kind of nicer homes.
They leveled the projects?
Yeah.
Because you couldn't do that in New York.
Well, the difference is New York, they're up high. In Seattle, they're spread out. They're spread out.
Now, in New York, you can't.
LA style project.
West Coast style.
That's what's fucked up about gentrification in New York in certain areas, like East Harlem, Lower East Side. You can bring all the top dollar motherfuckers in condos and Whole Foods and all this other shit, but dead smack in some of those areas are projects. They're housing projects.
You can't
projects.
Tear down a 20-story building.
You can't tear them down because of laws that have been put into a place way back when.
They're HUD protected.
To have affordable housing
What they did was they tore
los
down...
Los negros y los latinos, puto! Yeah.
Well, they tore down the dilapidated ones and they rebuilt kind of similar ones, but nicer, newer, and like you said, more affordable housing.
I'll tell you two
stories about Micro real quick.
Yeah.
To show you, number one is Hustle. He is an artist, and he was having this art show.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends a letter to Bill Gates saying, hello, I would appreciate it. You know, here's who I am. If you'd love to come to my art show.
Really?
Yeah. And then guess what? Guess who shows up to his art show? Bill Gates, because he sent them the letter. I mean, that just shows you, like,
what?
Hustle.
Well, you know what it is? You know what it is? Like,
I'm going to write a letter to Mariah Carey.
You can't.
Butterfly's my favorite album.
You can't lose anything if you don't got it. Right? Yeah. Like you said, the worst thing you can do is ask. That's what we were having a conversation yesterday, Simon, about you and your future job perspective. What's inspiring to me about a kid like that, first of all, being gay, being fucking homeless, being abused sexually and all that other bullshit, to have the wherewithal to not arrogantly say, you know, or expect things, because he humbly says, I'd like to have a chandelier and, like you said, but That's not being.
He acknowledges how materialistic it is.
Right, but that's not being too materialistic, is it? He says that. I'm like thinking, no, you deserve that.
He recognizes that material, but it's that attachment to that childhood dream, and that's what drives him.
Because he's always thought of it, and you know what? I hope to God he gets that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, he will, dude.
Yeah,
he'll
definitely.
Well, he's got a nice spirit, man. It comes across.
But what I'm saying is, you know how difficult to finish the thought. You know how difficult it is, even when you are on somewhat of a level playing field. Like, for instance, what we were talking about earlier yesterday, you have a job, you're going out of town for a couple months, and even then you're afraid to say, you know, to look for another job while you have a job, which you're in a better position now when you have a job to go look for a job, right? Imagine when you're homeless and you're beat down and you ain't got shit. Imagine how difficult it is to go knock on some...
You know, it's kind of funny, but part of his challenge was taking on his mother's crack selling responsibility. Yeah. And he said that he was able to sell four times what she was able to sell.
Yeah, he was like,
"Mom, having to sell crack, but that's some confidence building shit right there. Like, I could sell.
Believe it or not, my parents were able to help turn a lot of people around, because coming into our homes, like, I'll give you an example. Like, the first time, you know, one of them said, the first time they ever sat around a table and had dinner was in our home. They didn't know that. Like, we had dinner together, you know, and that was like really profound for them. Yeah, like that was really profound.
My family don't do that shit.
Right?
It's like, that's why we have those fold-out little tables.
You know what they call that in Latino families?
What?
Sobremesa.
What is it called?
Sobremesa.
Sobremesa.
Over table? What? Sobremesa?
Well, that's a literal translation, but like, it's just like
a sit down dinner.
Sitting around the table.
Yeah, sit down dinner.
No,
dude.
Interesting.
Dude, I didn't have that either.
I didn't have that shit either, man.
Bro, I was
all cooked and last week. Food's ready. Get it whenever you want.
Well, you know, one of the things about Jews is we don't educate in college. We don't go to school to get educated. Like, we go to school to get accredited. Education sits around a dinner table. Like, we educate our children, we talk to them over meals. Mm-hmm. That's like the difference. You know,
that's
like,
that's
how are you going to get educated in school? There's no education in school.
I respect that shit, too, because that's where I think our culture, Latin culture, get disconnected.
Yeah.
You know, and it's beautiful when I have groups of friends that actually still do that.
Right.
Man, I would love to go eat at their house better.
I would go
to their house as opposed to eating at my house.
No, as an adult, I cherish breaking bread with friends, and I mean, most of us go out to eat a lot. I mean, that's my thing, you know. What I mean, I have a nice dining table, which, you know, this summertime is like bombasticus, spacticus. You know what I'm saying? Plastering splatticus.
They call me,
you know,
Mr.
what I mean?
Bombastic.
Anyway,
well, you know, I mean, the whole concept.
Well, big up to all you Jewish motherfuckers. Big up to all you Jewish motherfuckers that get your kids accredited, but give them education at home, man.
Please, Well, yeah, I mean, you know, in Jewish families, you'll have the Sabbath on Friday night. In a lot of Christian families, you have Sunday night dinner. And, you know, those are important. Yeah. Those are important because that's how you school your kids. You know, mm-hmm. What's the you can't just send your kid off to school and think he's getting educated. He's getting a piece of paper. That's what he's getting. And then he can take that piece of paper into life. But what did you give him to take into life? That sits around a dinner table. You know, I'll tell you.
That's when you learn your morals and
or you just learn about life. You just talk to them about the world. You know.
Tell us about morals, Rich.
One last
thing. Asking me about morals.
Tell us about morals. Yeah, I haven't heard that word on the show in a long time.
Yeah, one last story about Mike Rue, and then we can move on.
Yes.
I remember he had a birthday party one year at a gay bar or a gay nightclub.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
how old was
he? He invited me. This was like a couple years ago.
Okay.
And he invited me, mm-hmm. and I brought probably my most homophobic friend I have.
Nice.
Dude from the neighborhood, always getting in fights, always hates gays.
He brought that dude?
I brought him.
Oh, you did.
But I didn't tell him where we were going until he got there.
That's a good friend right there.
Just, well, we were going to the birthday party first, and then we were going out somewhere after. So I couldn't.
You didn't tell him because then he's going to be like, I ain't going to no gay club.
When we go out and go beat up some gay people, come on to this party.
Well, no, I couldn't tell him, right? So I let him slowly figure it out once we got there.
Then
it was too late, and we just we had a great time. It was funny. He's like, fuck it. He had a drink in his hand. He didn't care. Yeah.
When I went to a gay club, I was extremely uncomfortable.
The first time?
Yeah, the first time.
Of course, of course.
And I knew I was going.
Of course.
I didn't expect that all to get picked
up. Of course.
I did not expect that.
Well,
at all.
You become self-conscious because you're like, oh, how do I act or whatever, bro?
I didn't worry about that. I was, because I'm an artist. I'm like, I'll be cool with it.
Yeah.
And I was surprised myself with my own reaction. Like, dude, I'm not that open-minded. You know, like, I'm not that comfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what? Well, stop picking up on me.
Yeah,
and
no,
I grabbed my girlfriend, like, you're going to be my girlfriend tonight. That still didn't stop him.
But, dude, it was so funny. I just.
Well, it's uncomfortable, dude. Now you know how a woman feels in a club.
You know what? Then you go a couple times and then nobody hits on you. You're going to be like, hey, what's up with that? Nobody hit on me.
No, you know what my self-esteem got hit, man? What's wrong with me?
My self-esteem got hit when I went.
Like me now?
My self-esteem got hit when I went to jail. Nobody fucked me. That's where I was 3 weeks and nobody even tried to flirt with me.
No, no one tried nothing.
Nobody gave me some free milk.
Nothing.
You started sagging your pants.
Nothing. I started dropping the soap on purpose. I'm like, what the fuck, little puppet? These are just chicken pox, son.
Yeah, it was just so classic watching him figure it out on his own. Hey, are we?
Nothing.
Is this?
Nothing.
Nice.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
So the movie's
Atomic
called Microwave.
Turbines to speed. Roger. Ready to move out.
That's my new transition.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, just tell them the movie's called Microwave. You can go to I think it's audienceawards.com and vote for it. He's up for some more awards.
Yeah.
Took first place at the Seattle International Film Festival.
Yeah. What's the website? Say it again.
I'm gonna tell you right now.
Well deserved.
I think I sent it to you. You have the email I sent you.
I do. I'll find
it. We'll find it. We'll get it to you by the end of the show.
I'll give out WalterReyes.com just cause you guys don't know shit.
Yeah, Rich.
www.theaudienceawards.com/film/MAIKARU
Michael
8304.
Put it this way. I'll post a link on my the Nestorius Public Radio Facebook page and on Nestor Rodriguez's Facebook page as well as Simon Kaufman. It's definitely worth watching, and you know what? It's a moving story. Anyway, to the Batmobile. Wait, to the Batmobile. Let's go.
The biggity 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 bat.
Don't stop. Rock the big plop plop. Bacock. Oh yeah. All right. Oh yeah. Shit. Oh yeah.
Now that you bring out the word cock, I had some good ass whiskey. Like that.
All right. All right. That's my shit right there. That's my favorite. That's my favorite right there. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about Uber, the app
that allows you
the
to
transportation
get
the transportation
service, the transportation app that allows you to pick up gay guys to drive you wherever you want to go for a nominal fee.
Oh yes, I can't wait.
For instance, have you ever been drunk out of your fucking mind and you don't know where your car is? Well, if you have the Uber app, you can just fucking tap into it. They'll find you and they'll,
and then
take
they'll
you
tap
somewhere.
Into you.
Shit, you can just they can just pour you into an off duty Uber and you can wake up in a hotel somewhere.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So before
you
we
get
go
the off duty Uber booty.
So before we go into Uber,
wake up naked.
Before
with a
we
hand
go
on
to Uber,
breast.
I wanted to play this Orson Welles wine commercial. What was it?
Oh,
Ernest
man.
And Julio Gallo wine.
Holy shit!
All right, but y'all, most of the people who listen to my show, they're of somewhat 30 and up. But for those young cats that don't know who Orson Welles was probably one of the most amazing, brilliant actors of like the 50s.
Well, he was a director.
And a director.
Really put him on the map.
Brando
with Citizen
era,
Kane.
No?
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane.
At 22 years old. He
22.
Huh?
22 years old.
Yeah. He directed Citizen Kane, and it reinvented. I mean, it's still considered
one of the most cinematic masterpieces.
If you're a movie maker, if you're a filmmaker, you're a director and all of that, I mean, he did shit that was insane. He fucking jackhammered the ground so he could get the camera lower.
Yeah. But then he also did like a lot of film noir, mm-hmm. which are like, I mean, just Google Orson Welles.
Oh.
Anyway.
And he did the War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds, the radio show.
People were killing themselves because
the radio show.
The radio show is a radio show. People were killing themselves.
We interrupt this program to announce that there are Martians attacking the Earth.
This is
we need more people to kill themselves.
That's how gullible society was back then.
Well, radio was very powerful back then, and his program War of the Worlds. I mean, the dude was a genius. So when I was growing up, I remember seeing these commercials. I didn't know who the fuck he was. Orson Welles was just a fat fuck, a fat sloppy white dude with a beard. He's so anyway, he's in England, okay. recording this fucking commercial. And I... all right, so the
just
first
felt like
take,
you were describing me 3 years ago.
So I'm going to describe it. The first take, he's expecting the couple next to him to do something with the wine. So the director yells, action, and nothing happens. So the director says, Mr. Welles, okay? So let me play this. It's about 4 minutes. Minute and 20 seconds. It's hilarious. It's too fucking hilarious.
Turn camera.
Marked.
102, take one.
With overlap, action please.
Nothing happens.
Action awesome, please.
Just do anything?
No. Yeah, really?
Did I preface it by saying the dude is fucked up out of his mind
slurring
while he's doing this?
102, take two.
Ah, the French champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Paul Masson.
102, take
you guys
three.
Like, stop.
Action, please.
Champagne has always been celebrated with success. There is a California champagne by Paul Masson, inspired by that same French excellence. It's fermented in the bottle, and like the best French champagne, it's vintage dated. So Paul Masson.
Cut! Get the fuck out of this! Get off the set, Orson!
Give this motherfucker some bread!
If you look that up on YouTube, you gotta check out the real commercial that actually aired.
Right.
Nothing like, he's just like, it's like the next day or something. Yeah. He's just like, yes, hello.
Yeah.
He is so eloquent.
The dude is
day and night.
So fucked up out of his mind. Okay? So you gotta go to Original Takes for Orson Welles Wine Commercial. That's on YouTube. Or just Google Orson Welles Drunk Ernest and Julio Gallo wines. Anyway.
It's Masson wines.
Paul Masson. But he used to do Ernest and Julio Gallo afterwards. That was Paul Masson.
Yeah.
Oh!
He made
$500,000 a year plus residuals.
Dude.
And that era, that's balling. That's a Nike contract.
That's what tells you what that dude was, who he was, right? Yeah.
That's millions.
And the fuck, if you watch the commercial, this is the most beautiful Caucasian couple next to them. They almost look like wax models, right? And everyone behind is like walking in an elegant fucking palace with wine and shit like that. And you got this fat slob with fucking white beard going,
Yeah, and you know when they got cast, they're like, oh, we're going to work with Orson. Yeah, he's going to be the business. Blah, blah.
You know, that kind of reminded me of the Lucille Ball, with when she does the Vitamita management.
Oh, yeah.
When she's doing the commercial and it's just a bottle of liquor. And she's like, at the very beginning, you know, Vitamita management, get your vitamins in one teaspoon.
She fucks it up.
And, you know.
By the end of it, she's like.
Fifth take, she's like, Vitamin. Call me an Uber.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So, this is Rich. Rich and I were talking about a week and a half ago or something like that, maybe 2 weeks ago, and you were talking about Uber and how there's a lot of regulation and a lot of cock blocking with Uber and a lot of laws coming into place. They don't want Uber to come around.
Uber's scaring the shit out of the taxi cartels.
Explain Uber. Like, for those that don't know, because I'm an old fuck. I didn't know what Uber was. I thought Uber was a gum or something.
Uber is essentially, they are just a company that will get you a ride. You know, they don't
own cabs, they don't own cars.
More like they allow you to find yourself a ride.
So if you're out and you're like, you press, you know, you download the app, you press a button, and then you see, what's really cool is you can see all of the Uber cabs that are within the vicinity of your area on a little map, which is cool. And then you get the Uber. And you know what's great about it is it's a lot cheaper than cabs. Mm-hmm. And it's really good for the cabbies too, or for the Uber.
I have a couple
Uber
comic
people.
Friends that drive that shit. Dude, their side job.
They well, get two tiers like, too. It, Uber X, you can do which really is well. Like a cab, yeah. And then they
Uber
have
about 25 bucks an hour.
Black, which is like a limousine and shit like that. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you can get either one, but both of them are considerably, cheaper.
Less expensive than. Yeah. Put it this way, man. I'm gonna tell you something right now. I read all the articles that you gave me.
Yeah.
Great articles. In New York City, the fucking taxi fare, bro. I no fucking lie, man. 10 blocks, you're shelling out $20 if there's traffic. It's gotten to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And
it's torture riding in a cab and watching that fucking clock move. Watching that money.
And
just
there's nothing
keep
you can
going
do
up.
because it's bumper to fucking red bumper. Line.
This is bullshit. Run it.
Click.
Well, you know, another thing this bullshit is, you know when you get in a cab in New York and it already has like a buck. You already owe a buck just by sitting in a cab. You know what I'm talking about?
It's like 50 bucks
cents
out
a buck.
Here.
Well, it depends on what time.
$2.50.
Okay, yeah, well, it depends. $2.50 out here.
Now it's $3 and $3.25, $3.50, I think.
Okay, but you want to hear something?
Yeah.
That money doesn't even go to the taxis.
No, it doesn't.
That goes to MTA.
I don't know who it goes
to. Yeah, no, it does. It goes to MTA.
Well, look.
Bunch of jerk-offs.
One of the articles, MTA is Metropolitan
Transportation Jerk-Off Authority.
No. MTA is Metropolitan Transit Authority is what it is. They run the subway systems and all that stuff. I'm not. Are you 100% on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason, and this is part of the argument, the reason that taxi fares are so high is because they're regulated on some level. For instance, in New York City, back in the 70s, medallions were offered at about $10 a pop. Let's say. Right? And they were like 140,000 medallions. Now they're like 120,000. So they've gotten rid of all those medallions. The medallions are scarce. No one owns them.
Explain what a medallion means.
A medallion is a certificate.
Your permission, yes.
It's your license. But it's usually on the hood of your car. So the medallion basically is an authorized
Stamp of approval,
but it's also like a
I mean, metal, you paid us
a license, and you paid the taxi and limousine commission to operate a fleet or to operate that cab. So what these guys do, a lot of these foreigners have come to America, Middle Eastern dudes and whatnot in New York, and they purchased whole fucking medallions that are up to $1 million a pop, and they own a fleet of cabs, maybe 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cabs, right? And they don't drive. You lease the fucking car at a 12-hour shift,
right? For $90,000 a year. That's what you lease. And you pay that, and then whatever you make off, however they break that down per day, per week, or whatever, per month, you get to keep the difference. A lot of fucking money goes to them, right, that don't have to bust their ass, don't have to be in the cab for 12 hours, and the cab driver has to fucking hustle to make a dollar. And as a result,
now, is it not true that now they kind of take on most of the responsibility and liability?
Correct.
Back in the day, they used to split
correct.
The liability
50-50 with the fleet owner and the garage, right? Because yeah. back then the garage would lease out the car, like the TV show Taxi.
Yeah.
Right. So you'd split the profit 50-50, except you keep the tip.
It was more of a company type.
The medallion was owned by the driver.
The medallion back then was owned by the driver, yes.
It was owned by the driver.
Yes, yes.
They were $10.
Right.
It was $10 to get a medallion.
So you split your take, the fares, 50-50 with the garage, because they keep your car, and you're running out of there, but you own the medallion.
And they probably also do the service, maybe, yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, they own the car, they deal with the service and all that shit.
Correct.
And that's a great business model. You know, to go by.
Right.
But then, you know, these companies figured out a way how they could make more money, and they switched it around where they started buying up all the medallions and reversed it and said, okay, you know, we're going to rent you the car and
but then they became assholes and dropped the liability on them as opposed to being like, we're working on this together. Not anymore. Psych. We're still going to keep a lot of money, but.
Well, then some of these articles are saying that there's a few issues with this, right? So Uber is not the problem, right? Uber is not the one that's gonna, so there's a couple of issues. So one of the points was with Uber now, does Uber take the place of professional drivers, right? Which are taxi and limousine drivers that are supposedly knowledgeable. Right,
but that's the only thing that made them professional back then.
But see, it doesn't matter about being knowledgeable because you have GPS.
Right, that's the counter argument.
And the great thing about it is, if you get a bad ride from these guys, you can instantly say, this guy sucked. He smelled bad, or he was a dick. You give him a zero fucking star.
And
or
then
one
enough
star,
of those.
Enough of those.
Then
and they're out.
Uber.
With cab drivers, you know,
you can't do that.
You can't do that shit. So you get this instant feedback on that. If they're a terrible driver or whatever, I mean, they will weed themselves out. So it's kind of self-regulating in that aspect.
Well, the way I see Uber is in capitalism, in free enterprise, in a free market economy, this whole cocksucking bullshit that everyone keeps talking about, the whole concept is the people get to pay for what they want. The people
and
vote the businesses
why,
in.
What cocksucking?
I'm saying all these dickwads that keep saying freedom and American freedom. Right. The whole fucking concept of American fucking freedom was capitalism, free markets.
Right.
Well, that means the consumers, not licensing fees, medallions, registration,
legal
registration,
laws.
Legal fucking taxes, and this tax and that fucking tax.
One of those articles said you had to pay $500 just for your application.
Just to apply.
Just for the application.
Right. Just for the application.
Just
to get accepted, it's another $300.
Right.
Well, fuck yourself.
Yeah. The whole concept of capitalism is the consumer.
Fuck you! I'm Persian! Fuck you!
Persian.
I fuck my own ass!
The consumer picks what businesses they want to vote in because we give over our dollar as a vote. And the consumer obviously wants Uber over taxis.
Why?
Yeah. Because it doesn't smell like cumin. Okay.
Listen, we're being politically incorrect here, but we don't give a fuck.
Well, I'm just in a cab. It's like, camarón pelado, tú quieres camarón pelado.
Mira para allá, para gusta, para ver, mira para allá, para gusta, para mira para allá, para gusta, para tan taran, tan 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 taran, mira para allá, para gusta, para mira para allá, para gusta.
It sounds like Jack McGee taking a ride in the safari.
I'm in Africa. Nesta! I'm in Africa thinking about your podcast!
I see what you're saying, Simon. You know, I wish it worked in a way that, you know, these people, you know, the cartels have their lobbyists and all of that, and they're banning Uber from these cities and all of that. But the people want Uber, and it's impossible for the people who want Uber, because they know if the people actually voted, were able to vote on this shit, not just your representative, you know, and all of that.
But when you say the people want Uber, the people want a cheaper way, exactly.
So if the vote was put to the if the vote was put to the people rather than the representative who is being hounded by the fucking lobbyists for the taxi cartels, you know, because they're, you know, the lobbyists are incredibly strong. So, but if the vote was actually given to the people in their hands and we could vote on that, hey, everybody, do you want Uber in your city? Should we allow that? Everybody's hands would go up because it's a lot cheaper.
The people want Uber. The people want GMO labeling. The people want free medical marijuana.
Right, but what happens is
we're getting caught. The people don't get a fucking choice
because
on anything.
Because you start fucking with people's pockets way up the ladder.
No, what happens is, exactly. is that you got corporations and big money businesses and regulators that start misinforming individuals and putting a lot of money in lobbyists. Groups to pass certain laws, like
that works these days. That's always worked.
That's always worked.
Pay and you get what you got. These guys are still,
but the big money lobbying organizations. You can pay. The more money you have to pay for a veil, so to speak, so no one really has transparency as to what's really going on.
Right.
Then you don't have the money. The four of us can't fucking try to a knife to cut that veil to open up the truth. Forget it. You might get a pinhole in there.
And philosophies are changing. I'm sorry. Philosophies are changing. I'll use this for example.
Please.
I don't know if you guys have heard Credco. They do a lot of activism. So like they were one of the first ones to attack SeaWorld Monsanto and I kind of subscribe to their emails and mm-hmm. I constantly get these great causes that they mm-hmm. fight against mm-hmm. and I'm a lazy motherfucker, so all you got to do is sign the petition and bam, I'm part of the fight, you know?
Right.
And they just started creating their own cell phone network.
Okay.
And, oh, wow. And they're approaching me about it, and their selling point is, you know, are you with a mobile company that supports the Tea Party,
right.
or that supports some other fucking shady right. shit? Philosophies are starting to come into play,
right?
And you don't respect these big ass corporations that don't have
right.
any type of. I'm a bohemian right. at heart.
Yeah,
I bought a whiskey yesterday called Cold Cock. And because the philosophy in the back was from the heart, like
from
we are humble people, yeah, from the cock, right from the yeah. sack.
You can black out, we'll pull your pants down, fuck you in the ass, and then send you home.
Yeah. But that's what, and I think Uber kind of gives you that feel, like you're controlling it. It's on your terms.
Well,
it's
here's cheaper, the deal,
and you can trust these guys are semi-professional people that are driving
here's
Uber.
Here's the deal,
not some guy that's doing it 24/7.
The American people are so fed up with the corporations.
Well, here's the deal,
they really are.
But look at this is the veil that you're talking about. There are what, three news articles about Uber incidents, you know, and
right.
you know, oh, is this Uber driver
Orlando,
hit somebody?
Orlando.
How many fucking taxi cabs have hit people
shit.
Since then? You don't hear shit about that in the media. So tell me, who's running the media? You got Fox News saying, oh, the liberal media and this and that. Dude, the media is being controlled by the big businesses. They are being controlled because you don't hear shit about, let's stack up how many people have been run over, hit, or molested, or this and that. By yellow cab
you're
drivers.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't hear that shit right now because it's been quiet.
Oh, what? Shit. Well, I smell a gun control argument coming
well,
up.
This is a,
shit.
This is a classic
I'm
case of the
shit. I'm telling you right now.
Listen, this is a classic case for anyone that says big government meddling in free enterprise. This is the classic case of big government
absolutely.
Trying to meddle in free enterprise.
Oh, shit, Richard.
Listen, dude. If Uber became unsafe, then people would stop using it. That's the whole concept of right. free enterprise, is you let the markets regulate themselves the government has to give the regulation.
I like your point. You know, when I first read these articles, or when you told me about these articles, Rich, you and I were debating, and I said, yeah, but, you know, TLCs, Taxi and Limousine Commissions, and, you know,
not the rap group.
Not the rap group, yeah. Not
some motherfuckers chasing waterfalls.
Not Lazy Eye and cream puff and cadoodle, not those shits. But when I read that, you know, when you told me about it, I thought, well, you know, but these, they're not regulated, right? And we're brought up to think that just because something is regulated, it's better.
It's safer.
And someone's looking out for you. That's the misconception with the word regulation.
Right. I feel like to the FDA with all these drugs that keep getting passed.
No, I got it.
The fact that you could pass a drug that could kill you.
Right. Exactly.
Or synthetic heroin.
It might cause, talk to your doctor first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they still pass it.
I feel there should be a sign at every doctor's office on the wall that says, your doctor is not intended to treat, diagnose, or fix any illness.
Just call the FDA.
Yeah.
He's just here to make you feel better.
Yeah.
Look, I'm gonna make a quick point here.
Please.
I referred to two of my friends, are comedians, that they drive Uber, right?
Yeah.
My experiences the majority of the time with yellow cab drivers, and they don't even want to fucking acknowledge you. Like they're miserable.
Do we have yellow cab drivers here in LA? Because most of them in Burbank, I see them. They're green.
I mean, when I see yellow cab, I'm like yellow cars. Yeah, we have them.
I've never taken a cab yet. When you say yellow cabs, you're talking about like the predominant.
Yeah, we have them out here. I've taken them. I know in Bellflower they got them. Okay. So I got these two cats. They're good people.
Yeah.
Good fucking funny people. Down to earth. They want to talk to you. That ride in itself just became more. More me, more interesting, more humble, more connecting, more satisfying, more entertaining.
It's for the people, by the people.
You're not sitting in the back of some shitty, fucked up cab with NPR stickers all over it.
Like the one I read.
Where you go, my friend?
When I go to New York,
staring at you the whole time.
Dude, when I go to New York, I get in a cab. I'm like, how you doing, my friend? I slap an NPR sticker on the dude's back. I got Nestorius Public Radio stickers all over the
place. I just feel like I'm going to county when I'm in one of those yellow cabs.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you a question. Right,
you get into an Uber, and it's like your friend's driving you to the airport.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Nice car. There's some air conditioning.
Have any of us here?
Like meatballs.
Have any of us here called Uber? Do you have an Uber app?
I have not done it.
Do you have an Uber app?
No, I have a fucking car. I'm a real man.
Do you have an Uber app?
I have a car like a man.
I have an Uber
get
account.
Let off some emissions and be a fucking grown-up.
Okay, now I'm interested in this. I'm going to get an Uber app. I'm going to try it.
I have actually a few comic friends that use it.
So this is what I want to say. This is what I want to do. Since none of us have tried it, and none of us...
Let's Uber to the next show. Uber down here to the next show.
No. I want to apply to be an Uber driver. That's what I'm going to do.
I heard it just takes a couple
undercover
days.
Uber?
I'm going to tell you something.
Drove here tonight. I'm glad I brought an extra pair of underwear.
Yeah, you're not going to get the best ratings, dude. You drive like a New York Puerto Rican on fucking methamphetamines.
Look at this motherfucker driving like he's the only one on the road. Get the fuck out of the way. I'm the only one on the road.
Uber's not the only one. Lyft is another big one. If you've seen those pink mustaches on the
now,
front of cars.
What is the deal with that?
Same shit. So I applied to be a Lyft driver when I moved here.
Yeah.
You know the fucked up part? You need a 4-door car, not a 2-door car.
Oh. Well, they won't let me in.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense, though. That makes sense.
Why does that make sense, motherfucker? Get in the back. Bend your head down. Here, I'll help you, bitch.
No, because ride sharing would mean that you have you're selling your own compartment for somebody to sit in there.
I got seats. I got seat buckles.
Mexicans driving Chevys.
Here's another could be an issue with that is that if you have a 4-door vehicle, it's actually the insurance is cheaper because there's two more doors to get out to get passengers out faster in an accident.
Mm-hmm. Motherfucker, there could be no accident. Here, take a bottle of water and wait it out.
There's been an accident in a 2-door car.
Yeah.
I'm driving. You're fine.
Okay, so let's do that. Let's apply.
Drink some cold cock and shut the fuck up.
That shit was smooth, motherfuckers. That shit was smooth. Cop is good.
Mira, yo te quiero decir que Ernest and Julio got a wine. I hope
I don't get a horse and Uber driver.
Yes.
Get in the car. I'm not even gonna bother applying because I got two DUIs. I doubt they're gonna let me roll through.
Okay, I don't have a DUI.
You're Uber's poster child.
I don't have a DUI. Well, there was an article. Well, hold on.
Got two DUIs? Uber at SA.
Hold on. Let me give you the flip side. So an Uber driver, and I know this is just an isolated incident, but an Uber driver not so long ago, about a month ago, was accused of kidnapping of a woman. So check, let me just read this shit because it's hilarious. And this is a con, right? So prosecutors did not file any charges against an off-duty Uber driver who was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping a drunk woman and taking her to a Van Nuys motel. The LA County District Attorney's Office told KABC they weren't able to get in touch with the 26-year-old woman for an interview. Their investigator tried several times to call the woman, but she didn't respond to any of the calls. She also gave police a fake home address. Early Monday, the woman called police from a 7-Eleven in Panorama City and reported that she had awoken next to a shirtless stranger at the Panorama Motel and had no recollection of how she got there. She directed authorities to the motel where they found 32-year-old Frederick Denser asleep and arrested him. She told police that she had been bar hopping the night before and her last stop was at Greystone Manor in West Hollywood. Authorities believe Denser, who had at least one Uber pickup on Sunday, was outside of the nightclub when a valet may have flagged him down to drive the woman home. Uber said in a statement that Denser was not logged into the ride-sharing app, which means it was not an official Uber pickup. The woman allegedly was too drunk to tell Denser her home address. So basically, instead of dropping her off somewhere, he took her to a motel to get her a decent night's sleep, right? And apparently he goes, once inside, the complainant suddenly awoke to find the suspect touching her breast. She told him to ... stop, and he complied. So basically, they didn't press charges on the guy.
I'm getting the vibe she was horny.
I'm getting the vibe she was.
Dude, she doesn't. She didn't know what you know what? She was doing.
No. I'm getting the vibe that
she
was
triple X.
No, I'm getting the vibe that she was Orson Welles' niece. Yeah. That's what I'm getting the vibe.
Well, dude, he's like, hey, you want the Uber X or the Uber triple X?
I'm getting the vibe that she was like,
or the Uber double X.
I don't know where I live, but.
I think she was embarrassed. That's why she gave all that fake shit.
Well, yeah. And then she never followed up.
Yeah, but see, that made headlines.
Yeah, I was about to say back to your point.
Anyway, nothing happened to the fucking Uber dude.
No.
You know?
No.
I mean, he's not going to get busted.
The Uber duder?
He was there a few days, too,
right? I'm going to apply to Uber, and I'm going to get my
test
own
app. Breasts.
Just to check it out. Yeah.
See if you can test some breasts.
I'm gonna hit you up and I'm gonna take an Uber ride with you.
Yeah, you know it's interesting.
You know there's gonna be a party in my Jetta. You know there's gonna be a fucking wiggity wacky don't stop ride in my motherfucking Jetta.
I think you're such a patient person and you're so on time and prompt all the time. Yeah. I think it will be perfect.
Perfect.
Show up at 8:30. Yeah, right.
What time? Whoa. What time do you got to be at the airport? 7? Fuck that shit, man. Change your flight. I can't be there until about 6:45.
Yo, I got a broken water hose in my front yard.
Yo, listen, I got 80 fucking different hats. You know, I wear them all.
And one of them's ADD.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
ADD and also ADHD.
So let me read this shit. Let's close it up with a little bit more alcoholic and alcoholic reference, all right? So, you know Governor Rick Perry, Texas Republican
that
governor.
He's a nice guy.
This is why you want to know why people get away with regulations and all that stuff, because half of the fucking population of the United States is fucking sniffing Republican ball sack and half of them are asleep.
It's not even the Republicans, it's all of them. They're so out of touch. Our leaders are so out of touch with the American people. A veil is getting us to argue Democratic, Republican.
That's a fucking veil.
That's another thing. I didn't mean Republican versus Democrat. That's the same bullshit as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, Governor Rick Perry, who may or may not be toying with another presidential bid, let it be known last night at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco, this is a couple weeks ago,
that he's
still very much an anachronism when it comes to the gay issue. He compared homosexuality to alcoholism and proved once again that he's your homophobic grandfather's favorite candidate. After the Texas Republican Party adopted a platform of supporting reparative therapy for LGBT people this month, he was asked by an interviewer, Greg Dalton, if he believed in the therapy, and he thought homosexuality was a disorder. This is what he says. Whether or not you feel compelled to follow a particular lifestyle or not, you have the ability to decide not to do that. I may have the genetic coding that I'm inclined to be an alcoholic, but I have the desire not to do that. And I look at the homosexual issue the same way. Oh, my God.
Dude, you know, this picture on this article, he looks like, with those glasses and that hair, he looks like fucking, he looks like Monroe from Too Close for Comfort.
He looks like he should be tied down and fucking shot.
He looks like the big, he looks like the gayest actor on 80s TV, and he's just. So, you know,
he's like, my genetic makeup makes
that's
me a
why
man.
He's so homophobic because he's sick. Gay, man. You yeah, just look right. at
him. Well, he all probably is. Things. He's probably closeted. And oh, a lot of these guys, it's just like, come on, man. Seriously? But I mean, that's, isn't that some backward ass? I mean, that's up there with
you. You could even point how backward his approach is. Of all the places you're going to bring that shit up and show that opinion, first of all, he's going to there to solicit what employees and like get companies to go down to Texas right. and get people to come on. Look how cool
right,
I am.
Conference, he's trying to get people to go.
Hey, everybody, come to my state because we all are dickheads
in San Francisco, no less.
Exactly.
The gayest fucking capital of the world.
All you broken people, you're broken.
Understand where he was going.
He's a
He's a fucking retarded motherfucker. That's what he is.
You're a retard!
Dude, oh, the best thing these guys can do is just not talk. They'd get more votes, you know?
Right.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. Look,
tell jokes.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah. Does the leader make the people or do the people make the leader?
The people make the leader.
You know what? There's a new thing for that. There's the lobbyists make the leader. That's the businesses make the leader.
Yep.
And
what I'm saying is,
the businesses make the leader.
And a good leader
knows his business.
No, a good leader will know how to pull the wool over the consumer's eyes and stay in bed with the businesses. That's just how it goes.
I'm saying it takes apathetic people to have a shithead fucking leader. That's what I'm saying.
Apathy. Yep, hey, yo, so we run out of time. I just want to say thank you so much for listening to Nestorius Public Radio. I want to say big up to my nigga right here, Walter Reyes. We'll be back. You'll be back on the show. What's up with you, man? You doing a show? You doing a couple of shows?
July 26th at John Lovitz Comedy Club,
Sunday,
10 o'clock.
Sunday.
Hit me up, WalterReyes.com. You'll find all my
shit. Sunday. What's the name?
Saturday.
What's the name of your show?
It's called The Looney Bin. The Looney Bin at the John Lovitz Comedy Club.
Saturday, July 26th.
Saturday, July 26th, 10 o'clock. Find me on WalterReyes.com. All my other shit's on there. My Facebook, my IG, all that shit's on there.
Walter Reyes is a friend of me on my Facebook page. That's Nestor Rodriguez Facebook page. Check us out on Facebook. Nestorius Public Radio is the page. Make sure you tell your friends on iTunes. Go to iTunes. Subscribe to the show. You know what I'm saying? Gargle with this shit. You know what I'm saying? Do your morning motherfucking exercises. Go ahead, bro.
And one more thing. If you want an artist handling your finances, I am a loan officer.
That's what I posted on Facebook, right? I said you were a fucking funeral director, you're a fucking car driver.
Mexican immigration guy. Yeah.